Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bark Technologies. Bark is a parental control phone monitoring app that helps keep kids safe online. Follow the link in the show notes to get more information and a special promotion for you, the Backseaters. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast, and directly across from me in our recording studio slash our daughter's bedroom slash the back room of our home is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
She is propped up in a beanbag and a study buddy. I'm laying down in a beanbag and a study buddy. I'm a little hot, but I have a blanket on and because I'm comfortable and I don't want to move. I am in a position that even though lightning just struck outside of our house, I thought if it struck our house, I would just tell the kids to come in here.
Yeah.
Because I've established...
Because you don't want to move.
I've established a safe, comfortable place, both physically and emotionally here in this place. But welcome, everybody, to our little podcast that could... this is a Tuesday. You may hear some thunder in the background. All hell is broken loose in San Diego. Mm-hmm. It's raining. Mm-hmm. It is pouring. There are no old men snoring because the thunder is too loud. And we'll probably... I don't know if it's raining quite hard enough to turn into flash floods, but it might. This is usually the time that it does it.
A lot of lightning out.
We have a lot of lightning. We watched the lightning and thunder show for a while. Our daughter's just terrified of loud noises. She's requested the teacher turn the fire drill down. She just requests. She actually told me when we were watching, she goes, "I like the lightning. I don't like the thunder." And I was like, "That's fair." Yeah. Because the lightning is beautiful and majestic, which is ironic because the thunder has zero chance of hurting you.
The lightning does. Yeah. Gloria used to really struggle with thunder and lightning when she was little.
It's a very natural thing to be scared of. Yeah.
It's kind
of
like the fire alarm. You're like, hey, you're in danger.
I wonder if there's a thing that is like that you could compare to a thing that you hate and kind of scares you and you think is bad as a child but you enjoy so much as an adult. Like, I think adults really enjoy storms, but when you're a little kid, you're very scared of them. First thing that jumps to mind, alcohol. That might be one.
I was thinking like artichoke dip.
Yeah. Horseradish. Artichoke dip. That's a good one. And those are in similar categories, you know. And they're, well, you know.
Fermented.
They're at the same events. They are both fermented. They are both available at Super Bowls.
I guess they're kind of fermented.
They both are bad for you.
Absolutely.
And artichoke dip seems like it should be something that is good for you. No, there's no dip that is good for you.
There's so much cream in there.
Other than hummus, which, by the way, our family has a new hummus and we are pretty excited about it.
This is not a sponsor. We ate two tubs of it in 2 days.
Melissa and I, this is not a podcast sponsor. These guys, what is this?
So,
it's a roasted garlic.
It's
hummus.
It's a roasted red pepper.
Oof.
Yeah. It's Kroger.
Yeah.
So it's in the high quality deli area, like the expensive deli area.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things to talk about today.
But that's the main one.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
We also are going to talk about fall breaks, how they're ridiculous, and what you should do on them. Trips to the zoo. What do you prefer, big zoo or little zoo?
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk about how much you should challenge your high schooler.
Yeah.
Academically, socially.
Yes.
You know, athletically.
Yes.
And versus them finding their own way and their own
being
self.
Being their own human.
Exactly. There's a lot that we have here
not
to
reliving
discuss.
Your high school.
Yeah, the 1 year of high school that I did. So before we do that, though, a couple things. Upcoming headlining dates, and there's a new one on here. Okay. But first, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Tuesday because you're a good backseater, tomorrow, the 6th, October 6th, I'll be in Indianapolis, Indiana at Helium Comedy Club. I'll be in the upstairs. Smaller room. Christina P will be in a different room, which okay. Maybe I'll say hi. I don't know. And then this is a newly announced November 3rd. You're going to be in San Francisco, my favorite city in America, nice. At the Punchline, November 3rd. Check that out, everybody. And then November 17th, the Improv in Milwaukee. November 18th, the Improv in Chicago. And then December 5th, Bricktown Comedy Club in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I think we're going to add one more San Diego date. We're aiming for 12-12. We don't know the venue yet, but we are finalizing it.
Yes.
Hopefully by this time next week. So check it out, everybody. Excited about all that. Also, Patreon, if you guys aren't familiar with Patreon. Patreon is just a way that you can give a little more to the podcast and get a little more from the podcast. Yeah. We got lots of fun stuff on there. We've got discount merch, free merch too, actually, when you first sign up. Christmas cards coming up. If you want to get in on that, that's going to be, you know, that's the big one. Early access to...
Oof.
That one was a house shaker. That one you might want to go check on Claire. But if she's on it, she might not even hear it because she's gaming. Early access to online content, since she's like my YouTube stuff, which you get a couple days early. All kinds of fun stuff. And then also, we 2 weeks ago, we had our Patreon Zoom hang, which is a $10 a month and up. Everyone, we just do a big hang. And then that next one is coming up.
Yes. Sunday, October 17th.
At 4 p.m.
4 p.m. Pacific Coast.
Live from wherever you are. Tune in.
PST.
Come hang out with Mel, Pacific Standard Time. Yeah.
They said Pacific Coast.
with Mel and Dustin and whoever else of those other Patreons might make a cameo. We've got some steadies. We've got some people who rotate in.
Yes.
We've got some who have never done it.
Yeah.
I had someone.
It's not for everyone.
I was doing the little question and answer the other day on what's it called? On
Instagram.
And someone said, why do you always pick Patreon times that... I can't do.
Nice. It's we try and do Sundays at 4.
They're Sundays at 4. That's when
they are. Unless they're not. So.
They've never not been. They've been Sundays at 5.
Yeah.
We talked about doing one on a Monday.
We were going to do a Monday.
They're Sunday evenings, folks. That's when they're going to be.
Yeah.
So a couple things. One, we are in the middle of fall break. Not in the middle of. Today is the first day of fall break. Fall break is the stupid thing that California schools do. Do you know of any other school that does them?
So Washington State does a midwinter break in February.
Right.
For a week.
But they also start. Where we grew up, we started way later.
Labor Day. After Labor Day. We have a modified year-round calendar, so it's like an eight-week summer. Mm-hmm. And then we get these 2 week breaks throughout the year.
Better for parents, worse for kids in the length of the break. Like the 8 week summer breaks, I'm like, yes.
It's the best.
I can't do another.
Like, a 12 week, so hard.
Awful. Awful.
So long.
How do you remember anything? You take, like, if you're going from like first to second grade and then you take off. 12
3 months. Yeah.
In the middle. That's like a half your life.
Right?
It was half your life ago that you were in this grade.
Well, anyway. Yeah. So some like Arizona schools do like a week. Mm-hmm. We do 2 weeks.
We know that because our beaches are full at that time.
I wouldn't say they're full, but the SeaWorld parking lot is full. Arizona license
That's
plates.
True. Arizonians are more, they come out less for beach and more for the parks.
They come to California.
They're hitting Legoland.
Through
Legoland.
And through.
Yeah.
Yeah, because why not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's our first day officially. A lot of times we celebrate birthdays.
Do you like fall break?
You travel a lot in October.
Well, I just travel a lot, people.
I know, but you do like tours in October.
October's a busy time in the live entertainment business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just think about
it's
our
like
October.
The winter.
Just think about our October, how much I'm working, and we are also attending concerts.
Yeah.
A concert and a live comedy show. Like, we are out and about and going in squares. We're like, it's a busy touring time.
Yeah. And then you got Halloween, and we have two birthdays in our immediate family.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Do you like fall break or do you lament it?
I like
it. 2 weeks, not a week. 2 weeks.
I like it because things aren't busy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it because, like, I rely so heavily on the kids being in school to work and run, like, the house.
And
so
actually
that,
run, too, right?
So that I can drive them around all
right,
weekend.
Right, 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 right.
It's hard to, like, get all that done when you're driving them around all weekend.
That's true.
By myself. So, yeah, so it's hard. Because we still, it's like summer where you're like, you have places to be, I have stuff to do.
Right.
We all do this at home. So there, it's a balancing act. But it's kind of fun because California does like residence, or San Diego does like residence free stuff for
right.
kids in October. So like you guys went to the zoo today.
We had a free
the
zoo
girls
day today.
Were free,
yeah.
So that's nice.
So it only cost $200 after everything was done.
Sure.
The zoo only made $200 on us.
It's like the Disneyland Zoo, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
you,
it's a nice zoo.
It is one of those. It's the zoo is great.
Everything is more expensive after COVID. Everything.
Is it?
Yeah. Everything is like, hey, we're raising our prices like $5.
Really?
Yeah. Because with minimum wage going up, too. My art class is more expensive.
Yeah.
Now. Yes.
I'm going to need you to send me some facts on this, Melissa.
No,
this sounds,
everything like
this sounds,
sushi stores.
This sounds.
Or restaurants.
Sushi stores.
Sushi stores.
This sounds suspiciously like one of those things that Mel just says.
No.
Sometimes
I
Mel.
I talked to a restaurant owner, and he is telling me how expensive, like supply chains are broken.
Mm.
So everything is costing more. I'm holding to it.
Now, Melissa, explain to me what you mean when you say supply chains are broken.
That there's been shortages in labor and in products because of COVID and in shipping, like,
so there's less products,
so like the things are getting stuck coming to the US and they are a lot of book releases have been delayed because the books haven't made it yet.
So
supply chain,
because the books have been delayed, the prices in sushi stores are higher.
Exactly. This, my TED talk is over. You don't let me get away with anything.
You're probably right. It's just funny when your like significant other, who you talk to all the time, just throws out some like just overarching statement about the state of the economy. It's supply. I mean, you were a business minor.
Stop.
We're sometimes not sure about that.
Oh my gosh.
No. I meant that we were talking about the other day. Remember when I was like, were you a business minor or like a ministry minor? And we weren't sure.
No, I got both.
You got both.
Yeah.
Double minor.
Woo!
Oh man. That is going to be the name of your first book.
Double minor.
Double minor. I don't know how much of this is being picked up on the microphone, you guys, but it is raining so hard in a room that has had a history of leaks.
Flat roof.
So it sounds like we are inside a snare drum right now. It is so loud. So
we're away off.
Kids are on fall break.
I'm teaching them about
like,
supply chains.
I do think that a parent is, I don't want to say happiest, but I think they are on their like, I think a parent is their most comfortable when their kids go to school each day and they have like the routine of what do I want to say? Just like everyday life. I think that's when a parent is most, maybe I won't say that about, but we are. When our kids are like, okay, Mel gets up at 6:45, gets the big kids out the door by 7:30. Dad gets up at 8:10, gets Claire
to... We know where we have to be when.
Gets Claire to school at 8:30.
Yeah.
Then you and I do... We're either going to have a work day or a hang day, but we know what... If we're going to work out, we're going to have a window. If we need to go get an errand done, we're going to have a window. When you have the fall break, everything changes in that, you know?
Yeah, because you're kind of like, well, what are we going to do, you know? And then you're inevitably going to spend $200 at the zoo. And
well, and you also have kids that you're just like, you cannot be on screens all day.
Right.
Because we also have a life that's built that sometimes they have to do a screen in the evening, like now when you record a podcast or...
During a rainstorm. Yeah.
Or whatever it may be, that you're just like, I know that you're on break. So it's summer again.
It's summer. Yeah. So like my friend fit me in Friday to get my hair done.
Uh-huh.
And all the kids are off. So I just determined that's their screens day.
There you go.
Yeah. That we won't do like an outing that day.
Because mom needs a haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did do an outing last night.
We did.
And
it was super last minute for me.
Yes. So this is one of the wilder comedy stories of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only going to focus on one element of it, which is the long and the short of it is Melissa met and I would say hung out with Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, pushing 30 minutes in total.
Well, I mean, as far as being in the same building, 2 hours.
Right.
Like, so what it was is we were at a show last night at...
We text now.
We text Kev, you know, pretty regularly. We FaceTimed him earlier. No, of course not. I would only FaceTime my enemies. What it is, so I was doing a show at the Comedy Chateau last night, which is in NoHo, North Hollywood, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And maybe, I think these storms might be coming from Kevin Hart himself, for us even mentioning his name like this and trying to write his coattails. And so I'm sure he owns some weather machine.
Sure.
They could storm all over San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Full disclosure, as a dad, I'm thinking, you know, we really do need this rain. So I get a message from the guy who's running the show, and he says, hey, just so you know, so what it is Comedy Chateau has two rooms. I was going to be closing out the small room, and then there was a show in the main room called The New Faces. And he goes,
yeah,
so we're combining the two shows, and then Kevin Hart's going to be doing the small room. And I was like, oh, cool, Kevin Hart's going to be there. That's not, there are like famous comics, and then there's Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is one of the most famous people in the world.
Such an A-lister. Yeah.
Kevin Hart is more recognized than like the royal family. Kevin Hart is as recognized a figure. Mm-hmm. I think it's like Oprah, The Rock, Kevin Hart. I'm not sure who the next ones are. Mm-hmm. These are like the most recognizable people in the world.
Yeah. Maybe Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Just someone out
there. Sure. Exactly. Yeah. People that are at the forefront of the zeitgeist. And we didn't know if we saw him, but I was like, it probably will be because, you know, it's a comedy show and the way that comedy shows work is there's always like you have to kind of get there before and there's always a little linger after.
Yeah.
You don't like walk in, go to stage, leave. And anyways, we catch him a little before show. There was a bunch of weird stuff that happened that night. Now I met, you know, I know Kevin. Kevin doesn't know me. In that I was on TV with Kevin Hart on the same day that... So we've met.
Yeah, you went into a film studio
of his. Yeah, on a day that he filmed six of the same things.
So he walks in the room, sits down, does his spiel with you.
We talk beforehand.
Yeah.
And a little afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I've you know what it is I shot a scene with Kevin Hart. That's what I did. I shot a scene with Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in his Netflix thing, you know?
Yeah.
So... We have like a touch point of, hey, and it's Keith Johnson's there too. And Keith wasn't there when we first saw him. But as he walked up, I was like, hey, you know, I was in Heart of the City, San Diego. And he's like, oh yeah, what's up, man? You know, he didn't remember my name. Of course not. He's Kevin Hart. Again, he's done 3 seasons of that show, 7-8 episodes per season. He's had about 50 to 75 comics on this show, of whom he didn't select and who he probably didn't even see them do stand-up comedy, honestly.
No, I mean, how could he? He doesn't have time. He has to shoot, like, the blockbuster movies.
Yeah, you know? But in between Mountain Dew commercials, and he has a Sirius XM radio station. I mean, he does everything. The man does everything.
Yeah, he works out so much.
Yeah. So,
but his people knew you.
So Joey, I know, because they were the producers of that show.
Yeah.
And so we talked with him for a while, and then I was telling him all the wildness of that night, and then he had us go hang out with Kev in the back where he was, where I told that story, and that's where you met Kev, which was cool, because I was like, You asked me afterwards if I get starstruck with people, and the answer is no, I don't.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't, because...
I said to you, is it because you're thinking about them?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm thinking about what they think about me and what they're thinking about the environment and are they comfortable and are they okay? What's that?
You're Moses when he sees like God and, you know, the three forms of God. And he's like, let me make a tent for all of you.
Let's hang out.
Like, I'm going to do something for you.
Oh, yeah.
You need a tent.
Hey, can we make this a little more comfortable for you guys here?
Yeah, I want you to be comfortable.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. Well, and also there's an amount of selfishness of that. It's like, I'm enjoying this moment, and I want it to extend.
If you ask a good question or say something funny, maybe he'll stay longer.
Exactly.
Which he did.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do that, and that's fun, and you're hanging out, and you shake his hand. That's all very fun for me, because you're like, because as we said before... Okay.
I got to meet him twice.
Let me ask you this.
The second time we talked longer.
Let me ask you this. What was it like when you saw him? What are you thinking when you saw him? And then what are you, which is funny because I was in LA the night before at a much more prestigious comedy club. I said the Comedy Store, and we talk on the drive home and you go, was anyone famous there? Because, and that's like, that's very common there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Burr is there a lot and Marin and there's all these tons of famous comics are there all the time. But it wasn't a particularly famous night. It was a lot of the guys who are regular there. You know, Chappelle drops in all the time there. So it's funny the next night when that kind of comes together, I was like, well, I mean, maybe you should come up with. So what's going through your mind, A, when you see him, B, when you shake his hand and meet him, and now suddenly we're talking to him?
I know. Well, I think the most startling, well, because I saw the cars and I knew they needed to get spots and I saw his guys, like his big, you know.
Yeah, they were rolling with like two, three
strong,
cars deep, right?
Yeah.
Security
guys. And I know comedy enough to know like he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I definitely... The first time I was like very caught off guard, I just shook his hand, said hi or something.
Right.
And then I was talking to Keith
Johnson.
Johnson in the foyer.
Former front seater, yeah.
And he was talking about how he didn't ever get a photo with Kevin Hart and he really wanted one, but it's an awkward ask.
Well, we played it cool. We were day on the Heart of the City, we were like, let's not be the ones that ask. Because you want to be comics with people. Before,
and absolutely.
Like, I'm not here just trying to get some social cred.
And so I tend to like talk a lot around famous people, which, you know, your heart's racing, you know? So that's like, I've seen it happen. I've seen so many people say like blubbering things to famous people.
Yeah.
And I've done it too. And so like when you FaceTime me with the Ivies in the green room and my heart was racing. Yeah. So, but then I also was really tired by the end of the night. It was like 11:30.
Yeah.
And we were backstage.
You
like,
still have not told me how you
room.
Felt or what you were thinking.
Well, this is where it, sorry, you know me. So then he's backstage and you ask him some questions. He's talking.
This is post show.
Post show.
So you tell me how you answer my question.
I'm going to answer it here.
You first felt.
So then I start going like, I'm tired. And then I'm like, it's Kevin Hart. Could you stay in the room? I was like, you get this once.
You yawn.
You get this once. Could you just keep your eyes open and smile?
I think we might turn in. You know, traffic and stuff.
But he did make me laugh when he was talking about his guy Joey.
Right.
And then he started to talk to the three comics and me.
Right.
Like we were all comics.
At the end of the show, are you going to answer my question on how you first felt?
I felt fine the first time.
No, but did you feel excited?
Excited.
Okay, that's the one. I was trying to get that out of you.
Well, but then when I saw him in the foyer.
You like this, Melissa?
I know. I'm sorry.
I asked you how you felt.
I'm bad at answering questions.
And it took
questions.
7 minutes for you to say excited.
I got really excited in the foyer because he popped out of a corner.
Yeah.
And I thought he was already on stage.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, he was right there.
That's
like,
what I wanted. That's Kevin Hart.
He like came out of the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the bar. And I was like, oh my gosh, there he is. So yeah, it was super exciting.
Do you when he shakes your hand, are you having out of body or are you just all you can think about is your heart
blubbering.
Racing?
I was blubbering.
I don't think you were.
Yeah, because I was like, oh.
Oh, but you didn't say anything.
No, I said like, someone take a photo or something.
Oh yeah, you did say that. No, that was the second time you shook your hand and he was like, it was really nice to meet you because he remembered you from earlier.
Yeah.
And then you go, someone take a photo of this. And I did not acknowledge the moment because I was in my mind. I'm like, play it cool, Mel. But then I'm also like,
I know.
I mean,
I lost it a little bit there.
There's no way he's not used to that.
Exactly.
And actually, it was kind of a funny moment. So if anything, you added a little levity to it.
I was.
What was cool then is, so this is post show. And if you've ever met a comic, any comic at any level after they go on stage wants to talk a bunch afterwards. Mm-hmm. And he kind of held court for me and you and Keith and Fox was there. And we just had like, and he just talked about being how he misses comic hangs like we were doing that day. Mm-hmm. And how he misses, you know,
New York versus LA.
And, you know, and he also said, you know, because he was talking to another comic who she said, you know, he goes, is this your job? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, that's it. That was the only goal. If you pay your bills with this, that's it. You did it.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that from the top level, because it is an old trope of like the more money, more problems. But there's also more success, more problems. You have staff. You have, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, when I think about that all the time, I'm like, can you imagine having to have HR all of a sudden and hiring and firing and all that kind of stuff and
benefit plans.
I mean, Kevin Hart is a guy just to go pop in at a comedy club. You have like, you know, 3 or 4 security, and you know, it was but we got I by far got more out of him on a personal level and that time than doing the show with him. And it wasn't even close because he was just a comic and we were all just comics.
Yeah, and he didn't even have anyone go up before him.
No, I think he didn't.
Maybe someone did a couple minutes.
Yeah, or maybe
because we were backstage.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But it was like just, you know, he's just working out.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a secret show. People like were, you know, it was like an email list type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you this without going into the details, but we will probably do this in further podcasts down the levels. That wasn't the most exciting thing that happened that night. It was one of the craziest nights in comedy of all time.
Yes. There's a lot of adrenaline highs.
What I like, though, is that you got a nice little exposure to what my life is, which is this crazy high adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And then you have to get in a car and drive home. And then you just have to wake up. And then you're Melissa the next day. You're mom the next day. I'm dad the next day. You're like, what'd you do last night? And I'm like,
I took my kid to a physical and they don't care about that. You know, they're just making sure they've had all their shots.
Yeah. I told Joel that today and I was like, did you hear about last night? He's like, yeah, mom said you guys hung out with Kevin Hart. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, cool. I was like, that's it? You should appreciate this more.
But that's the problem is that you hope, and I think I did, you want to appreciate it, right?
And
you want to be in the moment and fight through any weirdness to appreciate it.
So there's a connection that happened. To me, this ties into the selfie, and the Kevin Hart selfie, at the zoo today, and me and Joel watching the lightning storm tonight. All three of those moments, you're tempted to, like, it was a crazy good zoo day. Like the lion roared as we were at that exhibit. You know, that never happens, you know.
Yeah.
The animals were active. Maybe they knew there was a storm a-brewing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
They're like, we better move now.
Yeah, I don't know why.
We're going to be hiding all night.
I don't know why they were, but they were out and about and moving and eating and all kinds of good stuff. The elephant was getting a pedicure while they fed him. All good stuff. Yeah.
It was dangerous.
It does. He sticks his foot out through the cage. And then they give them positive reinforcement. They give him food as he does that. And then some dude is just railing on elephant nails.
Yeah, with like a saw.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea what he was doing, but I was like, man, if that elephant kicked you, you die. Like, there's no, it's it. That's it for you. So what happened was, That there was all these little moments, and I did take a couple pictures with the girls and stuff. And then we have this crazy, like one of the most beautiful lightning storms I've ever seen. And Joel's on his phone, and I'm tempted to get on mine and like see if we can capture a cool picture of it. And that, and you're like, or, and same with Kev last night of just going like, or just have the moment.
Yeah.
Because why do you want to take a picture so you can show people?
It's proof.
It's proof. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes it more exciting.
It's like, it's like, oh, this could get the most likes.
Exactly. And then you're like, but then you realize you're using that person.
Yeah,
you're using mm-hmm. that's yeah. you're not,
and so you can have a catchy podcast title.
Well, that's true. we are telling the story here, but you're using them for your own social gain.
Yeah,
and that sucks. Mm-hmm. That sucks if that's the reason. Now,
but then if you're joyful and you're like thankful for the moment, you can also share something.
That is true. Absolutely. And, yeah.
But there's a really fine line between like bragging or using people or, yeah. you know, et cetera. And then that's pretty ironic because the social media was out this morning.
That is funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. Even mm-hmm. if you.
Because I went into Instagram like when I was at the doctor with Joel. Right. I was like, I wonder if somebody tagged yeah. him, or if somebody, you know, like Kevin Hart was able to keep a really low profile,
yeah,
because he just came in without warning, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's not even on Instagram, and then Instagram was down, so there you go.
He broke the internet at the Comedy yep. Chateau.
It's a little lesson, appreciating the moment.
I think there is something to that. I think as soon as you take out your phone and snapping a selfie with someone you're a fan of is very different. I get that.
Yeah, I maybe think like if you're at a concert. Or,
yeah, and that's a way of, like, I share stuff at concerts a lot, you know? So I maybe mean, you're sharing the experience, and it is kind of a way of celebrating it. So I get that. But I will say this, that in, like, when you're, especially with your kids, there is an element that all, like, you are enjoying the moment, and then you stop enjoying the moment for a second so you can document the moment.
Document it, yeah.
Which is important, though. Documentation is fine. You know, people take mm-hmm. pictures with me sometimes, and I don't feel like they're using me.
See,
but it's different. It's mm-hmm. different when you're a fan, because I'm not, of course I'm a fan of Kevin Hart, but I'm a coworker of Kevin Hart.
See, and that's the thing is, I don't know how much you would have like been upset if I did take a photo, but the vibe
yeah.
with him backstage was comics.
Exactly.
And we're having a private hang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like a meet and greet.
No.
And you took selfies with comics that night. But this was like,
yeah, with my friends.
Yeah. But yeah. this was like,
but if that bringer
different.
Who went up after me, who's like yeah. an open micer and was kind of, you know, kissing my butt a little afterwards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If he would have been like, hey, let's take a picture. There's a percentage of me that have been like, by doing that, you are kind of putting yourself more in fan and less peer mode.
Or coworker. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did our lights just flash, or did I blink for a long time?
Yeah, they did.
Hilarious.
Yeah, the vibe just wasn't there.
Like, yeah.
It was a special moment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were there for it. We have an email that I want to read real quick,
cool.
everybody. This is from Aaron. I'm sorry. This is from Caitlin.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
And it says, hey, Melissa and Dustin, I love listening to your show, usually while I'm driving around to the 4 different stores I need to go to in order to get all the food we need every week. Relatable, Melissa?
Yeah, but hers is even crazier.
You were asking about stories about watching movies and crazy experiences. We moved to the island of St. Kitts almost 5 years ago. Almost everything to do here is more expensive than back home, probably due to supply chain, except when going to movies.
COVID supply chain.
We go to pretty much every family movie that comes out. What we learned pretty quickly, though, is that the Kitty Shuns, okay, the locals, love two things at the movie theater: talking out loud to the characters and eating fragrant homemade food brought in containers. No. Oh, it's been quite an adjustment for our ears and noses, but we still love going to the movies. Oh my gosh. Lastly, I used your code to sign up for Bark Technologies.
Wow. It works internationally?
Oh, my God. We have loved and it's made us feel a lot safer about our kids' time online. However, this morning I got a notification about violence and a YouTube subscription from my 12-year-old daughter, because this is one of the things that Bark does.
Yeah.
And it was one of your videos, Dustin. I'm going to have her unsubscribe. And it was because one of my videos said spanking in it. The lecturer spanking one that I did.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That
it's
is
so funny.
Very, very funny that Bark is so good that it might pick up my content when I'm being a little more risque in the most innocent form possible. Guys,
And just so you know, you can filter, you can get a lot of notifications or a little bit less if you're not as overzealous.
Right.
If
you guys are familiar with what we're talking about here, Bark Technologies is a parental control phone monitoring app to help keep kids safe online. Bark's mission is to protect as many kids as possible. As we know, parenting is very different than it used to be, so it monitors your kids' text, emails, YouTube, et cetera, for things like violence, sexual predators, suicidal ideation, threats of violence. It also can set timers for the younger ones on iPads. There's a lot of different things that you can do to help keep kids safe online through Bark Technologies. And as a backseater, you're going to get a free 7-day trial and 15% off for the life of your subscription if you go and use promo code Don't Make Me. That's all one word, no apostrophe. Don't Make Me for a free 7-day trial and 15% off for the life of your trial. Bark Technologies, helping keep kids safe
online.
Helping keep kids safe on
a light
line.
Awesome.
Today at the zoo, I'm going to go right into the next one.
I did
think about Munchie Mug a lot because my kids were eating popcorn and they had...
And that big pail.
And they have the big pail thing.
Is
and I paid extra for it because I was like, whatever, this is Halloween themed and we're going to need some things to put candy in. Well, we need a trick-or-treat bucket and it was a pretty good one. It had a little light on it. It came from the zoo. It was part of the memory. Listen, the dad buys stuff at theme parks. I do it. It's a thing that I do. There's no avoiding
it. Hey, you're supporting animals.
I'm supporting animals, but they were spilling so much popcorn, and you feel bad at littering at the zoo because it feels like you're littering in the rainforest or something.
Right.
All places to litter that you don't want to do
it. Maybe the peacock can eat it.
There was only one peacock, and we only saw it once, and I was like, you need more of these guys to come pick up these
trails.
Oh,
yeah, all the children's snacks.
You can see where you will know where Gloria and Claire are at all times because they're leaving a trail of popcorn behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about Munchie Mug, a genuine thought. I was like, we should have brought a Munchie Mug because our kids are spilling and this stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And Munchie Mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market. If you guys aren't familiar with Munchie Mug, that's what it is. It's this beautiful little cup that whatever you have that you don't want to spill. Mm-hmm. We're talking either from the kids in your life, maybe the senior citizens in your life, or maybe maybe you're an unstable human. Maybe you spill
there
stuff.
There you go.
I spill stuff on the reg. Mm-hmm. I have a LaCroix propped up here near my phone. It's been making my wife nervous for 36 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But Munchie Mug, variety of different colors, dishwasher safe, made right here in the USA. And if you go to munchiemug.com and use promo code Don't Make Me, all one word, no apostrophe, you're going to get 25% off your entire order in addition to getting free shipping. So munchiemug.com,
making your life less messy.
Boom, that's our best
Woo!
One ever. That one was our best ever. So we've talked about the zoo a little bit. We've talked about Kevin Hart.
Fall break.
We've talked about fall break.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the next 10 to 15 minutes, how much ever long this podcast has. We have one more email to do in a bit, but... The thing that we're wrestling through right now, and you and I need to talk about it and not fight about it because we fought a lot this week. But that's because we made some progress. We realized that you are offended by questions. And
I'm always offended. It's a problem. Anyway.
Yeah, which is interesting because sometimes if I speak, I can speak more bluntly to you and you're not offended if maybe it's something that we've worked through before.
Mm.
If I'm like, you know... You're like this a lot, and it can be like very frank and very mean, but very to the point, and you're not offended by it. But if I'm like hypothetically, like, hey, could me and the kids maybe go to Oktoberfest tomorrow, you lose your mind.
I know. You're getting ready to travel a bunch.
Melissa, this could have been on the third day we were dating.
It's true.
And this would have been the same
response.
It's true.
Well,
you run stressed.
For the record.
You've always run stressed.
You're about to go out Tuesday to Tuesday.
Wednesday to Tuesday, yes.
So it's on a break.
Right.
A school break.
Right.
So there's just a lot going on right now.
Yeah, but again, I could be home for 9 months straight. And maybe.
I don't think I was as stressed before having kids.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I disagree. I think because before we had kids, you were crazy stressed in college.
Yeah.
You would have dreams about how stressed you were.
Yeah.
You were always stressed about running.
Yeah.
You've never not been a stressed person.
Yeah.
Were you a stressed child?
I was a lot.
Why do you think you run stress? What about is it?
I'm
do
just
you, do
very
you like it?
Or
is
passionate it, is you, and
intense?
Emotional.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I like it.
Yeah. You like to be... The truth comes out. You like to run in the red. You like the intensity of it.
Everything's pretty exciting.
I said that to you the other day and I meant it. I go, I've never had a boring day with you. Oh no, I've never had a day that I've been able to predict. I've never had a day with you that went according to the way I thought it would. I actually don't even think about how the day will go. It's more like, I wonder what Mel's going to be like today. You know, it's not, and I don't think that actively, more like, I don't want to make it sound like, you're a crazy person or something like that. But I mean, I don't know what to expect from you at any given time. And you don't know what to expect from you.
No, I think my emotions have emotions.
We said that the other day that I'm a very efficient communicator. Which is ironic, but yes. Even though I'm ADD, I'm all over the place, but I'm very streamlined on communication.
But that's because you're so in tuned with people.
Sure.
And you know how to communicate a specific thing to a specific person.
I can't stand the thought of me boring somebody or wasting their time, because that to me is a high offense. Like, and you are like, scrambled eggs. I mean, you like when someone hits you with a question, I mean,
I will meander for 7 minutes.
7 to 70 minutes.
Yeah.
To land.
That's how long it takes me to find my answer sometimes.
No, to land at a place that we were never meant to go. So I say that with the preface of the discussion right now, what we're trying to figure out is we have a son in high school
other things,
who started high school, who is not being academically challenged right now.
Right.
Everything's very easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting by swimming. He's a very bright kid. He's always been a very bright kid.
Yeah.
And we're wrestling through, do we go, okay, you have to go into honors. We have to push you up. You've got to be challenged more academically here because... Or is
freshman year kind of like kindergarten, or where you're just getting settled?
Just get settled here.
Yeah.
But is it going to be easier to start transitioning up now than at the start of next year?
Since
he's doing football, fall is always going to be a hard, busy time for him with football. He's always going to be pulled more intensively there. So... that's the question. Do we encourage him? Do we just tell him? Is it his choice? Is it our choice?
So I was listening to an hour Zoom webinar today about freshman algebra one. It was the whole math department.
Yeah.
The freshman math department did this Zoom. And they were saying that in the spring, he could try honors and then evaluate whether he's going to stick with that group and be in the harder math.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to go the college prep route, which is what he's currently in.
So he
can't move up for winter quarter. He can move up for spring quarter and give it a try.
Okay.
And then...
so that gives us a little time.
That's kind of like the baseline. Like either he goes up or he stays.
Right.
You know? And then they have all the remedial options, like if you... didn't pass.
I just got so bored by everything you just said.
No, I was honestly really impressed with their department. They really got
the
their
math
stuff
department
together.
Or just the, yeah.
They, I mean, I watched it and I go, I have to be in this math department for 10 years with my kids. I might as well figure it out.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, and you're good at figuring stuff out.
So I felt really good after watching that webinar tonight.
Right.
Like, okay, we know what... Like, because I felt like...
This woman hung out with Kevin Hart last night.
Yeah, and now I'm excited about a math webinar.
And you were quicker to say you were excited about that than meeting Kevin Hart.
Yes. Guess I'm just a mom at heart. No, I said heart. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'll stay away from the heart pun.
That was accidental.
Okay. It seems to me that in a million ways... Now, I didn't have a traditional freshman year experience because where I went to school freshman year was still middle school. And you were at the top of the food chain. And you were kind of a developed... I mean, you know, 14, 15, you're about to drive, you know?
Yeah.
So sophomore year...
Especially the girls.
Is way... sophomore year is way less significant. Like, even though it's your first year in high school, it didn't feel... Those seniors aren't that much older than you.
No.
You all are driving. The driving is such a big piece of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, less kids get their license here in Southern California. We were...
And just in the 2020s.
Yeah, kids
don't drive like they used
to. Well, for us, it was like the social cred.
In a city.
Yeah.
Like an urban kind of.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call our area suburban.
Yeah.
Kids don't drive.
No, you're right. But though you went to school in an urban area, but you lived in a suburban area.
Yeah.
And I lived in an area that I would not call the suburbs, but was suburban.
It was by the burbs.
It was not urban in the sense that it was in a city.
It was urban in the suburbs.
It was poor, is what we're saying. In some areas, not always, but
just your neighborhood.
But so I didn't have that. But it seems like that freshman year is a huge, just find yourself, find your interest, find your friends. What are you going to do? Like Joel, we haven't told this story. This is a great story. So Joel.
Just keep it kind of anonymous.
Okay. Joel, 2 weeks ago, goes to the mall with some friends. They all sneak into the movie. He tells you that. I don't know if he tells you that based on a guilty conscience.
Well, because I'd given him money.
Yeah. I don't know if he tells you that on the guilty conscience or because he was kind of trying to see if it was bad or if he didn't realize it was bad and he said it on accident. But either way, he told you that. And then you kind of told him he shouldn't do it. And then when I got home, I hit it pretty hard. And I was like, Joel, this is stealing. You're stealing. You're stealing from the people that make the movies. I go, we were talking about movies. And where I go, Joel, there's a lighting guy. There's a sound guy. This is where the movies make money through the, you know, like this place doesn't make money. The guy cutting your tickets gets fired. Like, you have to pay for the commerce.
They had to pay for that space for a year and a half while they were
closed.
Right,
right, exactly. Yeah, movie theater's coming back right now. Give them your money, you know?
Yeah.
And even aside from all that, just the morality of it, you know?
Yeah.
What did we say? I said, if you're going to steal from anyone, steal from the government. And other than that, I don't support it. But, you know, and so we tell him that, and he gets it. He doesn't even really argue with us on it. So this next week, some of the same friends, some a different group, they hang out the mall again. And I drop him off and I say, what's up? And as we've told you before, nothing good has ever happened in a group of teenage boys. No good things ever, especially meandering, especially at the mall, especially with no focus.
Mm-hmm.
So many bad things and just annoying things, not even like crimes, just stupid things. And no group of teenage boys is improved in the presence of with more teenage boys. Especially at a mall. Joel buys his ticket. Every single one of his friends sneaks in. Joel pays for his ticket. What a proud parent moment to be like, I mean, talk about a kid that you're not really worried about peer pressure affecting him. Every other kid sneaks in and your kid doesn't. They sit down in the movie. They get thrown out of the movie. They get thrown out of the movie. And Joel's like, they all got kicked out. I was like, oh, dude, did you leave with him? And he goes, no, I want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And they all did, too. And because Joel was there, they wanted to stay and watch the movie, too. So they kicked him out, of course, but then they all went down to Walmart, bought a change of clothes, then came back and bought tickets so they wouldn't recognize him. And I was like, they ended up spending like $40 on that movie ticket. So great moment with your kid. But that's probably to our point of us just saying, like, this is a year finding yourself and who you are. Because he was talking to me today earlier. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think I'm going to do football and then wrestling and then track. And I go, you're going to do wrestling? He goes, yeah, I think I'm going to go out for it. I go, have you thought about it? Have you talked to him? He goes, wrestling's crazy intense. He's like, just like football. I was like, no, Joel. Joel is nothing like football.
One-on-one.
I go, Joel, Joel, when I was in high school wrestling, like, we would do 3-mile runs with bricks in our hands. They would put bricks in your hand. You would go run. I go, Joel, there's nothing like wrestling. I go, there's this intensity. And he goes, well, I'm trying to get in shape. I was like, they might make you get smaller, Joel. He goes, what do you mean? I go, they might make you cut weight, Joel. I go, you're going to run into these guys who have been doing this for 10 years. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. I'm just saying, count the cost here, Nickerson. Yeah. And I go, do you know the wrestling coach? And he goes, yeah. And I go ask him. Go up to him and go, I'm thinking about going out for wrestling. See what he says, because I guess he's one of the PE coaches.
Yeah.
And see what he has to say and feel that moment out. I go, because you could also weight train and we could hire Omar, our friend, to do some personal training, some routes in the off season. And then he wants to get fast and then track. That makes sense.
Right.
You know, but that's I guess maybe we're answering our own questions as I dialogue here with the things he said. It seems like, you know, track won't be as intense as football, like as far as like what it takes out of you. Because obviously you can get hurt running. You're more likely to get hurt playing football.
Absolutely.
Every kid on that team is hurt right now.
Yes.
Every kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. That's another thing that we're trying to figure out of when do you tell your kid to suck it up and be like, you're okay.
Yeah, I was talking to Gloria's canoeing coach about that. And I guess she had a really good day today. But like when you enter races and pay race fees, you're like, oh, well, you can't sit out because you got to sore thumb,
right?
You know, like you gotta get in that canoe and paddle,
right?
But
well, and you and I
line.
Both played a lot of sports, and so you know when you know there's always a culture around industry in injuries. I can tell you every kid that was always hurt, and I use that in quotes, that was always hurt in sports. And there's some boy who cried wolf stuff there, and there's also like, but also sometimes like a broken arm's a broken arm.
No, you know, injuries are really hard because they, like, strip your identity and you can't play your sport.
Well, and you don't know.
Around the team.
You don't know what somebody's pain level is. So the doctor told him he's having growing pains. He gave him a term for it.
Yeah, in his knee.
Yeah, what was the term?
I don't know the term.
So whatever the term was, the doctor told that to Joel. Joel told that the trainer. The trainer told him the doctor was wrong.
Oh.
This trainer at the high school, who's this guy, girl, person, I don't know, says, what? Oh, that's your doctor's wrong. That's not like growing pains or whatever the term was.
Oh.
You're injured. And they gave him a big old thing of ice or whatever.
Oh.
But I'm like, and Joel goes like, who should I listen to? I go, the doctor.
See, I kind of want to talk to this trainer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. But I guess what Joel said is the doctor was just like, yeah, they just use like some big, the trainer was like, the doctors just use big fancy words. That's all I got out of Joel.
I guess we could just use Google. But the doctor was like, nothing will help it. No ice. I was like, that might do some pain relief, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it's not going to make it go away. It could be for several years. You know, because like your heel and your right under your knee, those are growth.
Maybe that's good. Maybe that means it's going to sprout up. I didn't have growing pains because I just had a very slow growth. I just very steadily.
My tall sister did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think tall people have growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
I never had them. Maybe a cramp every once in a while, but not
like
on
a Charlie horse.
Yeah. But then, you know, someone in my family would tell me I'm not allowed to have feelings. And
that was over.
Shove that down. I mean, there was pain.
Obviously.
You know. But it couldn't be acknowledged. But the good news is he wants to get fast, so he will go out for track. And I say this, looking at a college track runner, Joel is going to be in a pleasant surprise with the lack of intensity in track compared to football.
Sure.
Track is hard, of course. Mm-hmm. It's running. It's running.
There's no routes.
There's a lot of lollygagging.
There's not a lot of strategy.
There's a lot of downtime at track meets.
It's fun.
It's fun. Track is fun. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I gotta run, but then I'm just gonna hang out.
Very few broken collarbones.
You got like two buses full of people to talk to.
Yeah, and track really attracts some misfits and some people that should not be playing sports.
But they
wanted to go because everybody's on the team, right?
They're like, okay, you're bigger, you can do shot put, you're tiny, yeah. You can do distance.
Yeah.
Like, there's a spot for everyone pretty much.
Yeah.
It's not unlike, what's it called? Like acting, like a theater.
Yeah.
Track is theater
yeah.
for of the sports.
Yeah, and it's definitely tense, especially, I would say, certain races. I mean, the sprinters have an intensity to them in their training. They're very meticulous and very, yeah. There's a lot of very mm-hmm. technical.
Technical with the handoffs
technical
and the starts.
And all that kind yeah. of stuff. And mm-hmm. then everything 4, 8 mile to so crazy hard, right? Like, that's just, those are push yourself endurance, especially eight.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we mm-hmm. were outside the house. The cross country, very clearly the varsity team ran by our house today.
Nice.
And I had not seen them. And they were booking. And
nice.
I go, oh man, gosh. Joel was like, oh, I know some of those guys. I was like, that guy is moving. Joel goes, I think I could run that fast. And I go, Joel, they've been running that way since they left the high school.
Yeah.
Which is
they're probably going to go to Lake Murray.
Which is 2 miles away. And he goes, aren't there races like run 3 miles? I was like, yeah, a lot of time cross country, you guys warm up with your race, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would have a practice mm-hmm. where you go and do a quick 3 mile. The one cross country practice I went to, I was like, they were like, all right, we're just going to run the course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the start
was
of practice.
The walk, jog, you jogged the course. You jogged 3 miles and then raced it.
And then you jogged.
And
they
then
jogged,
ran more.
They jogged 3 miles and then practice began. You and I jog 3 miles right now and then sit down for an hour.
That's our long run.
That's our long run. There's stairs. All right, let's do one more email, and then we're out of here.
All right.
I think this was productive.
You really covered a lot.
It's one of the first times you haven't yelled at me in an hour this week. Last week. Okay, this one, by the way, keep sending us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear more on this, what you guys do with as far as walking the line of where to push your kids and, you know, letting them breathe and be who they are and, you know, but also, like, you want to guide them. And inspire them to believe in themselves and to do more and maybe get an academic scholarship to save you 10 grand. There's certain ways that you want to push them. Also, on the other subjects of fall breaks and what it was like when you guys met Kevin Hart. Whatever thing you may have. Okay, last email area. This is from Dan. Dan's a friend of the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Subject is noisy kids. Oh man, this episode was too close to home. My wife is driving my car today and clipped a mailbox and broke the side mirror. Ooh.
Oh no.
My oldest daughter asked if daddy would be upset. My wife said no, he doesn't really get upset. My oldest said, then why does he always yell at us when we're loud? In my defense, we have three girls, are really, really loud, except when they're asking a question from the back of the van. I'm with the Melissa on the loud chewing. That and the chewing ice drive me crazy. I might need to start playing music. My kids love to ask questions constantly during movies I've never seen. Who is that? Why did they do that? What's going to happen? I have no idea. I've never seen this. The part of the fun of watching the movie is to discover the plot, and I'm sure they'll let us know if something is important. Watching movies with my kids is not the most enjoyable experience. Dan from Montgomery-ish. That's fantastic. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for being a great backseater, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We appreciate you guys so much.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There, everybody. Want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That is our highest tiered patrons. Thank you so much for your contribution and support of this podcast to Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Dave Hoagland, Damarius Diaz-Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farrah Journey, Dave Cox, Isaac Terran, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, The Forgotten Friend, Reptile Sanctuary, check them out on YouTube, and Jordan Cowan. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate, again, you and your support of this podcast. Thank you.